Hi.
Hi.
Want to welcome all who are not necessarily visiting, but visiting. I want to welcome evacuees from Florida and those who are members but have not been able to attend for a while. We're glad to see you all. It's wonderful that you're here. And to start this out, I'm going to go on a low note here because I have a confession to make to you, okay? I've never really, okay, this is my confession, all right? Never really celebrated Grandparents' Day. You know, today is Grandparents' Day, all right? And now I have reasons for this, understand, okay? Don't condemn me just yet. But my last grandparent died when I was 16. And so I haven't had a lot of grandparents to do that. And this, in my mind, this day, this celebration, came out after I started doing things, okay? So it was a new thing. And it, to me, it seemed like something that Hallmark set up so that we could send out more cards and increase their sales, right? But today is Grandparents' Day. And interestingly enough, Father Bill heard from the Lord and said that we needed to honor our elders. And well, look, Grandparents' Day is coming up. This is the time to do it. And we're here to honor our elders, okay? Now, I want you to be clear exactly what we're talking about here, because when I say elders, there are really two basic definitions that go on, okay? So an elder, and in Scripture, typically means those who are the authorities in the church. That would mean bishops and priests primarily are prime examples of what an elder in the church is. If you look at James chapter 5, it says, go to the elders of the church, have them pray for you. It's really talking about those who are in authority in the church, okay? In this church, you know, also members of the rector's council, that's Christopher, would also be considered an elder in the church, okay? But I'm also talking about, when I say elders, I'm talking about seniors as well. Those who are older than you, okay? All right. Because of their greater range of experience, those who are advanced age are often much wiser. And so the word elder tends to go with wisdom as well, too, okay? Understand? Now, I'm putting out a warning at this point, okay? Because in a few minutes, I'm going to open up the floor to our elders to be able to say something to us, okay? By that, I mean full members of this church, okay, who are 70 years or older, have that many years of wisdom under their belt. So, well, that's right. That's right. Because though I am gray-headed, I am not an elder here, okay?
So, elder also in Hebrew means the bearded
one. There you go, the bearded one. Yeah, and we're going to get to something like that in a few minutes here. So it'll be interesting. So if you are a member of this church and you are over 70, start thinking about what you'd like to share as a nugget of wisdom with us. Because in a little while, you're welcome to raise your hand, and Daniel will come around with the microphone. You don't have to get up or come around or anything like that. And you can say something to us. Wow, pretty cool, huh? You know, it's interesting. As I get a little older, I notice that in our society, things appear to be programmed more for the younger generation. Societal changes begin to occur. You know, things of another age group are starting to take over, should I say. And marketers out there are particularly more interested in the younger generation than they are in me. They're the ones who are going to have the money. They may not have it all yet, right? But you're going to, and so they're very interested in what your likes and dislikes are, okay? And so I feel a little bit left out in some ways. Do you know what I mean? Now, it's not like I want, you know, marketers coming after me all the time. But young adults and their interests and needs drive lots of retail trends and economics, okay? So this is a truth. And so if you don't believe me, look at movies, for instance, okay, and how they're marketed and put out there, okay? So I notice as I get older that in some ways it appears that I'm getting a little left behind, okay? Now, maybe if you're older than me, you can understand this. And I don't really mean left behind, but there's this thing that's changing somewhat, okay? And something's just not quite right. What I thought used to be a norm is no longer a norm, okay? It's more that those norms are changing and I'm not. Maybe that's it. I'm not changing. Now, perhaps, like I said, you can elaborate more on this when you have a chance to stand up. But often, we don't recognize the treasure that we have in our elders, because there is a wealth of treasure there, okay? The experience of long life teaches many lessons that our elders have learned and we have not, and that they retain, and that they are willing to share with us as well. Now, as you know, I work mostly in Brevard. And it's interesting that I have the privilege in Brevard of taking care of more elderly people than I would in our other clinics. And I have to tell you, I really like that. I like meeting the elderly patients that I see. It's not unusual for me to see somebody in their 90s, okay? I have one patient that is 99. That is the oldest patient that I've met and seen there. I have another patient who came in last week who's 95, and she mentioned an interesting thing to me. She said, it's hard to get a ride sometimes here. I said, well, why is that? She said, well, I don't have many contemporaries anymore. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, guess not. And they probably wouldn't drive either. But that's, you know, but it just hits you. You understand? You think about all of the people that you've grown up with and that you've lived your life with. Many of them are gone, and she's still around. But she was spry, and she was on her own. She had gotten a friend to give her a ride to the urgent care. It's amazing sometimes. My Aunt Eleanor is 92. Some of you have met her. She's been here before to church, okay? She is very proud of being 92. And she'll tell you on a frequent basis. And I went and saw her last week, and I took some pictures while I was there because she has lots of picture albums going way back. And though she can't drive, though she has difficulty walking, couldn't be here today, she can still tell you the complete history of Inca and Candler, all the way back to 1932. Okay, she is very on top of it. I have a couple pictures that I took, you know, when I was over there with her, and I wanted to put those up if Daniel can get them up, and I'm sure he can. And they can just kind of scroll through, and you can kind of look at them as you're able. The first one was black. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't one. So.
It was very dark.
Yeah, it was very dark. It was a dark time. Let's see. Okay. You know, where was I? Oh, yeah, there it was. My aunt is 92. She's been through a lot. She experienced the Great Depression, okay? She experienced the Second World War. She saw her brothers, who were a couple of those guys up there, go through the war, one not coming out, the other one being a POW. She remembers her father pacing back and forth the third time FDR was reelected, because he was not a Democrat. As a child, she met veterans of the American Civil War, and yet she experienced the Cold War and bomb shelters and all of those things of the 50s and 60s. And when we look at things like this sometimes now, they appear to us to be ancient history. That's what they look like, because of all the things that we have, our little smartphones and all that sort of stuff. But there are people still alive who've lived through all of this, okay? Very significant parts of American history. In fact, those people are in this room right now. Each of our senior members have had amazing life experiences. When I'm in the urgent care, unfortunately, I rarely have time to ask my senior patients, you know, a whole lot about their lives, but occasionally I get to get a little brief anecdote from them. It's really exciting when that happens, sometimes from veterans, sometimes from, you know, any of my other people. This 95-year-old, I didn't have time to ask her much. She wasn't feeling great, and I was busy, so we didn't get to do that much. But here we have an opportunity to learn from our elders. I'm going to invite them up to say something in a minute. And after the service, we're going to continue on, because during lunch, I encourage you all to sit down with an elder and ask them for a story or an anecdote or something, okay? we have an opportunity here that's pretty amazing. And as I said before, they have a treasury of knowledge and wisdom for us. If you noticed in the scriptures for today, the passage from Romans, and by the way, spiritual fever is a good thing too, as well as fervor. That was wonderful, thank you. And Matthew 18:15 are both about living life. They're about how to live life. It said, you know, live at peace with one another, okay? That's what Paul said. He said in the very beginning of that chapter, he said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then he ends that entire chapter of chapter 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is basically a chapter about how to live the Christian life. In Matthew 18, Jesus was talking about how to live with other people, and especially if your brother has something against you or vice versa, and how to go through that process. And we've, you know, been down that road before in this church. You know the principle of Matthew 18:15. These are guidelines for how to live the Christian life. Living with others can be hard sometimes. And so why not ask people who've been through it and had lots of experience? Well, that's today. God tells us to honor our elders, and we're doing that today. That's what we're here for today. In Leviticus 19:32, I think that the KJV kind of falls down on this one because it says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. You're talking about hoary heads. I like the NIV better. It says, stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. The Hebrew word there for hoary head, they translate is Selah, the gray-headed. Okay, that's more appropriate, I think. And so we're here today to honor and respect our gray-headed elders. Now, I would invite you church members who are over 70, if you'd like to say something, you don't have to get up. Daniel's going to be ready with the microphone. And if nobody says anything, we're going to sit here for 30 minutes. So you'd better do it. But please, please share with us some piece of wisdom, something that you've learned over the years, something, a pearl that you could share with us that we could take in our lives. But also, please try to be succinct. Okay? There's not going to be a whole lot of time for everybody otherwise. And there will be time afterwards, too. And if you would like, now is the time. You can raise your hand, and Daniel will bring you the microphone. There's one, two.
Hold it close.
Really close.
Already close?
There you go.
Now you can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Well, Father Chris was talking about his aunt. I knew Eleanor well because we were, she and her husband and Paul and I were in the Lions Club together. So I kind of know what she was talking about. I went through the Depression and the Second World War, and of course, my brother Diane's father fought in that. And I don't know how in the world he got home after I've seen and heard through the years what did really happen. But coming up through the Depression, I didn't know it was we were poor. It was normal to me. I had three dresses. I wore two of them to school, and then I had a weekend dress, and I wore it every weekend. And I didn't think anything about it. And I had one pair of shoes for play and one pair of shoes for going to school. And if I wore it out, that was just too bad. Mama tried to fix it to where I could last it out until the time came to buy me another pair. But I think the thing that I learned mostly back through that is don't take things so seriously.
Mm.
It's because if something comes up and then you think it's, oh, this is terrible, all you got to do is pray and it's going to pass. And I've learned that. Of course, my daughter sitting here next to me has been going through a hard time. And all I can do is pray and not be upset about it, but help her all I can. And that's what I try to do. In fact, I think I'm the oldest one that lives on that hill up there where I live. And some of the younger women come to me and tell me things, and I don't know what to say to them. I just sit and listen. And I think that's what they want. They just want somebody to listen. But I'm glad to be here today. Diane is good enough to come after me, and I can't always get up that early and move around. I don't get around much anymore. But anyway, I appreciate everything and everybody in here. Some people I know, some people I don't. But I hope to get acquainted today.
Hello. I just wanted to tell one thing. When my brother and I were young and we went and played in the fields, safely I might add, when it was time for supper for us to come in, my mom whistled clear across the fields, and we heard her, and that's how she communicated with us, come home now. But nowadays, I've had something happen yesterday that has me scared to death. Someone has purchased for John and I a new smartphone. The technology has changed. Mom's gone, technology is not. And there are people, on a more serious note, that in my family that I cannot reach because I do not text. I will text now. I will learn. And a lot of other things. So I just want to thank the Lord and thank people here for friendship and thank God for the contact between Him and us and each other.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank my mom and dad because they were wonderful parents to me, and they lived by Romans 12. They taught me at a very early age to forgive, and that's been a principle that I've used all through my life. I've had a lot of people that have done wrong to me, and I've always prayed for them and forgiven them, and God has done miraculous things because of that and changed people right before my eyes. So I can't stress enough the principle of forgiveness. Also, I think it's very important that the father pronounce a blessing on his kids. My father was in the war, and World War II, and I was born in the United States, and he told the nurses taking care of him, he said, my daughter is going to grow up to be a godly woman, and she's also going to go into the nursing profession, which I never knew until after I became a nurse that he said that. But there's something very biblical about fathers praying over their kids and learning at an early age what their giftings are. And my parents always stress vocations, you know, that we were all given something that we were supposed to do, and we're not on this earth for ourselves. And so I grew up seeing them bring street people into my home, and, you know, we'd always have people in our house that I never knew, and my parents were always helping the unfortunate. So those kinds of things kind of wear on to the children, and that's been part of my life, just being there for other people. Another thing that I think added to my longevity is genetics and a very healthy lifestyle. I've always been very conscientious of that. And but I think my parents had a lot to do with how I turned out and the fact that I got to live as long as I did with God's grace.
Amen.
Hi. Can you hear me now? When I came back to the nursing home this last time, my plans were to slip on into eternity after about 2 months. But you know the saying, man plans and God laughs. It was about 14 months ago. And I'm still very much being used by God, so I'm afraid I'm going to be here for a while. My voice is not holding up very well, but, you know, I guess a couple of things. The technological changes that I've seen in my life are just absolutely overwhelming. I do text. First time I texted to one of my grandchildren who were in their 30s, they were wildly impressed. And I tell them that, just wait. When you're my age, if you're unlucky to get that old, you are going to be faced with some new technological problem that you have a hard time with. I guarantee you. The other thing is that God has opened many doors for me throughout the years, giving a chance to witness for Him. You all have seen this. It's God has gifted me with writing spiritual meditations, and there's a CD of them here. And I am not responsible, Jack, for the size of this picture. We do want to see a picture of the person who's on the album, but this is a little bit overdone. And I, my grandson, now these people are in the 30s that I'm talking about. My grandson is quite an evangelist. He has a full-time job, but he's also very much a full-time evangelist. He is working now to train others, to be evangelists. He's gone on a mission trip to Nepal and so on and so forth. So he wrote this up some years back. It's my personal testimony. And I've had the opportunity to hand this out to several hundred people over the last few years. And Christmas meditation that I wrote has gone out to many, many people. One guy came to me one day. He said, "I found this under the cigarette machine in the business building. We were looking for something to tell our child about Christmas, and this was just the thing." So when you put it out there, you never know where it's going to land up. So put it out there as much as you can. Cast your bread upon the waters. You know, we don't want to have to be afraid when we stand before Jesus. And you want to say that I stood up for you, Jesus, and now He will stand up for us.
Amen.
Well, I'm standing up, and I'm glad that I'm able to do that, and I will also say I will be brief. Of course, some of you who know Shakespeare a little about it, you don't want to ever hear that. I think, as you know, there's a very, very long, long monologue. Very true. So Father Chris will turn his hearing aid off, and I shall begin. No, I'm seriously not going to be very long. But I do remember two things, and I remember this from my father, who was not particularly a religious person, but he practiced this in his life, and I like to think that I have tried to practice it in my life. And the one thing is to be punctual. It is very important to be on time. And I've been 5 minutes late sometimes, and my dad sitting in the car would wave at me and drive away because I was 5 minutes late, and I had to walk one time in the rain from Broadway to West Asheville, and it took a long time to do that. And another little thing that he always thought was very important: if you contract with someone to do a job, then do that job and give the guy or whomever 25 cents extra. And that seems to be a nice idea too, I think, to practice in dealing with the events of the world. And in my own personal situation now, I have been thinking concerned about the Beatitudes. And John can attest to that because we've talked about them a little bit. And if you, I think we need to think more right now about the Beatitudes and exactly what they're saying, and they're all short enough, you know, to tweet. might give a tweet to the president. Use those sometimes. That might be good too. And, on that happy note, I will close. Again, I'm thankful to be here, and I'm glad to have met a lot of you, and getting to know all of you has been one of the highlights of my 71 years.
Yeah. I can tell you that James is never late.
I'm Danielle, and I'm not sure if I'm a member. I would love to be. But I'm 76. I have 4 grandchildren, and I'm a Native American holy medicine chief. And in the Native American world, we honor elders. Elders go first for meals, are seated first. And so thank you so much this morning for honoring elders. It means a lot to me. Elders teach the youth in the tribal culture. All the young people gather around the elders and gain the wisdom from them. One of the things I want to share is, in Romans 8, it talks about the whole earth groans for the redemption of the children of God. And it's like the earth is groaning now. It's like we have polluted the earth. We've fracked it. We've nuclear bombed it. We've exploited the resources. And now the earth is beginning to vomit out the results of this. Because we were supposed to be caretakers of this planet. And the Native Americans had that as their goal. And so, as a result, I think we're seeing some of the consequences here in these last days. And finally, I'd just like to ask prayer for my brother Jim, who's in Naples, Florida, going through this hurricane. God bless you.
I have friends and relatives in Bolivia, and visit down there. And if you're over 65, you can just walk up to the front, any line.
I call that AARP. Not as good. Not quite the same. Anyone else?
Ron, Wanda, Linda, any of you all?
I feel like the Holy Spirit's pushing me to say something that I'm sort of nervous about.
Daniel, bring a prayer microphone.
I've been thinking about a long time, but it's getting more and more. Many years ago, I had a bout with depression, a severe depression that, like, it put me in the bed. And this professional asked me to go to this other professional, and I went, but what I didn't realize was he was ministering death to me instead of life, because he was a heathen, he wasn't a believer. And I've read Psalm 1, which says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but I was walking in his counsel of the ungodly. And it took me a long time to get over this depression, but it went through a lot of people who were righteous and ministers and everything, but I had no idea what deliverance was. And anyway, I had people praying for me, but it was so bad. My depression was so bad, my mother was on the phone trying to find a plot for me, because she figured out I wouldn't make it. But anyway, I did make it, and it's through the grace of God and, his servants here on earth that were, heard him and were praying for me, and deliverance, of course. And also, I want to say that it's very important to get renewal of your mind. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Amen.
Which is scriptural. And also, I want to, anybody that's suffering from that, that maybe I can help. That's why I'm bringing it up. Maybe I can help someone, or you know somebody I can help, by telling them I've been through the same experience. But I felt like God was wanting me to say something about this today. And I was reluctant. I won't give the whole story, but anyway, there's two publishers that want my memoirs, but I'm reluctant about that because I don't want to go in the dark places anymore. Anyway, I'm in the light now, and I intend on staying in the light. And, God bless you.
Thank you. Ron or Wanda?
Wanda says fine.
I was going to behave.
You still can. It's okay.
One thing that came to mind is that you cannot outgive God. I know there's a lot of good examples here of giving and giving of yourself. And it doesn't matter. You just keep giving, because we're needed. We're needed. People are still hurting out there. And this is a small congregation, and we do so much. And the work of the church, just running it, people just give themselves. And it's such a blessing. But you cannot give God, because he given to you. And you don't even think about it, and suddenly, oh, I needed that. So that's all. Thank you.
There are two who didn't make it today. Carol Henniger is another one who's in that same group, and Jack is the other one. Jack was not feeling well this morning, and I'm not sure where Carol ended up. But those are the 10, and we are so pleased for all of you who did make it, and for what you've shared with us. It's a real blessing to have you in our midst. And I just also want to say, now Sue and Ron and Wanda have been with us since the very beginning, and they are. Sue was actually given a prophetic word when we started. That she was going to be the mother of the parish, and she has certainly been that. And even though we call her Aunt Sue, that's right. Anyway, and Ron and Wanda, you guys have just, there's not enough we could say in thanks.
Just leave Ron out of there. He's
no way we can. Your fingerprints are all over this place, as are all the rest of you, and we are so pleased that each one of you is in our midst, and you've each contributed far more than we can ever return to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.